Welcome to There's an Elephant in Your Office. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Andrea.
And together, we're advancing the conversation about mental health in the workplace.
Welcome to another episode of There's an Elephant in Your Office, the podcast where we talk about mental health and how it shows up in the workplace and really life in general, I would say at this point.
Yes, it is part of daily life, and especially in pandemic life. Our last episode, we talked about some really tough topics and very important social justice issues. But just as important, and what we want to focus on today, is how are you coping in the midst of the pandemic and social justice issues and all of the upheaval? And so Andrea and I have talked to several people, and it's interesting what they've been doing to literally maintain sanity in the midst of all this. So Andrea, what have you heard from some of your people?
I have talked to several people, and personally, you know, one thing that I have done is I've been on a quest for the best chocolate chip cookie recipe, and maybe I've eaten about a million chocolate chip cookies. Who's counting, really?
Quality control. How can you know if it's the best one if you're not tasting it? And I've never been more sad to be far away because I'm not getting any of those cookies.
I know. Well, pro tip, if you make a whole batch of cookies, and let's say you are at home in quarantine and you don't want to make all of them right then, you can't really share them. What I've been doing is rolling them in cookie dough balls like you would, and then freeze them. And then you can bake, you know, 2, 4, 6 at a time, and or just eat the cookie dough, which, you know, maybe I do very often.
So are they just in like a resealable kind of container?
Yeah, like a Ziploc. Yeah, okay. Like a Ziploc bag.
Mm-hmm. Nice, nice. Well, it's funny. I guess this must run in our family because I too have gotten into some cooking. My house has turned into the teenager hangout. And I don't know if you know this or not, but teenagers, especially teenage boys, they eat a lot of food.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, a lot. And so I'm like, what am I going to feed these kids? What am I going to feed these kids? So I'm cooking all this food for them. And then I notice how much they're on their phones and Snapchat and Instagram, and how much they like to see themselves on Snapchat and Instagram.
Teenage narcissism, of course.
Yes, of course. Yes. So I was like, I'm going to start making a cooking show. So I'm just filming myself making, I don't know, pancakes, waffles, you know, this is not high level cooking. But then I would holler at the kids like, hey, boys, food's ready. And they all come in, and, you know, then I shoot them a video of them at the table, and then I tag them. And so then I get, you know, 47 views or something amazing on Instagram because I haven't used Instagram till the last month. So that has been one thing I've done, and it's been a way to kind of care for others, but also get in the kitchen and make stuff I want to make. It's kind of been my thing. So watch out, Food Network. I'm almost ready.
That's right. And it's so interesting because you started cooking more, and quite frankly, I've been cooking less. I have been just garbage at meal planning. I was on it, and then the pandemic hit, and now I'm like, what are we eating? Grilled cheese again? Like, I just can't get it together. So what I have been doing instead is ordering takeout to support local business, and that makes me feel good.
Yes, because you are getting food and you're helping people. I think everybody wins in both of those scenarios.
Yeah. And I guess just keeping up with the food theme for just one more example, I was talking to my friend, and one way that she told me that she'd really been spending some good time in making her feel positive was there was a friend of hers that was a high school teacher, and normally he would teach a high school class using a garden plot. But since the classes got canceled, he kind of put it up for grabs for more like a community garden with their friends. And so she's been out there gardening every weekend. They've created this little community of, you know, people newer to gardening, and she likes gardening. So that's, she's been able to teach people when it's their first time, and that opportunity wouldn't have come up, you know, if it weren't for this. So There are silver linings.
That's right. And I want to point out that gardening is something that therapists and mental health professionals recommend to help you maintain kind of positive, good mental health states, because you're engaged, you're growing things, you're watching it progress, you're nurturing it, all these really good things that build your skill set so that you can take care of humans as well as plants and vegetables. And we have planted a jalapeno plant. I don't know if it will live. Stay tuned.
Ooh. Well, I love the watering and the picking, but I do hate the actual planting. So yeah, you got to find your partners that like, oh, you like to plant? Great. You handle that and I'll do the rest of it.
Yeah, I'll come back in 2 to 3 weeks and just pick things. Yeah, I will be picking a lot of garden vegetables for the next couple weeks as our parents have just left Kentucky and headed out to see you in Oregon. So I will be sending pictures of tomatoes and making sure I do everything correctly.
Yeah, my garden will be beautifully pruned and all the things that I don't know how to do.
That's right.
While they're here. So another thing that a different friend said was that they had picked up their guitar again after years of it sitting in the corner, which was pretty cool. So coming back to a musical instrument, and also journaling and just kind of walking barefoot and observing kind of the smaller areas of their backyard and just looking at all the little finer details of nature that's in their own backyard that you just typically don't slow down to take the time
and it has been kind of a very extra beautiful spring because people were in their house, and so there was less pollution and less output of vehicles and industry, and so there were more flowers and there were more birds, and it was really awesome that at a time people needed that lift, oh look what Mother Earth, she's given us lots to look at.
I have truly never seen the flowers more beautiful. And it was just like went on and on. And I mean, I'm now intimately familiar with my neighborhood and all the streets because I've walked them a million times with the kids. And, you know, I've been able to slow down and actually play with the kids. I was just talking about this the other day where, you know, before it's the hustle. I'm up, we're out, we drop off, I go to work, I come back, I pick them up, I make the dinner, clean the dinner, you know, showers, bed, get up and do it again. And there's just not time to play. Mm-hmm. And during this time where we've just been home together more, we've played board games, we've gone on more bike rides, we've walked every street in this neighborhood. I'm not even kidding, like 100 times.
And eaten about 100 grilled cheeses while you were doing it.
And all the cookies.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just, it's been really nice because it's an opportunity I didn't even think about, you know, or expect, but to actually play while the kids are little has been a really nice perk.
Yes. Well, when the kids are older, so I told you we're the teenage hangout. My son and his friends, they're 15. Everybody is about to start having birthdays and turn 16. So they're not quite old enough to have little summer jobs. And even this summer, they couldn't because Corona and, you know, working at the grocery store is kind of a high risk. And so they wanted to hang out together, but they also wanted to make some money for their cars that none of them have yet, and gas right. money that they don't need yet.
They don't need, but they will.
But they will. And so they decided what they could do was clean and detail vehicles. And so they've yeah. done probably 5 of those now in my garage and driveway. And so I thought, you know, that's a way they're dealing with it. They're not isolating. There's a group of 5 of them that do this. So, you know, it's a small group. They're outside. They're the same kids that have been together since March. So, I mean, if they were going to have mm-hmm. the virus, we're all going to have it. It's just we had to make a group. It's small, but they're there.
Yeah, I mean, to protect your sanity and also the emotional and social development and growth of the teenagers and the kids, like, you have to have some outlet for that, especially, you know, only children or people with big age gaps at home. I mean, you got to have an outlet.
Yes. And I will say what has been good and sad at the same time is as you have all these kids at your house, you see that people's home lives are not necessarily like yours. And some of those kids, you know, they're not uplifted at home and supported. And so if they're isolated and in a bad situation at their house for months and months, their mental health is going to deteriorate. And then we look at all kinds of risk factors that increase for coping behaviors like drugs and alcohol. And so it makes me feel good to know that some of these teenagers, they come over here for that social and emotional support so that they can actually make it through their home environment until we can get back to a little more, we'll call it school normal, where they get to go and see people every day. And so it's that resiliency we've talked about in other episodes. They're finding ways to get together and make it through whatever stressful stuff they're dealing with.
Yeah, because, I mean, all of that's still going on. People that didn't have a safe home environment when this all started in March still don't. I mean, nothing really changed. Maybe they've gotten more numb to it. But I do think when you can provide an outlet like that, it's wonderful. And this whole experience, I think, is also confirmed or reconfirmed just how much friendships and relationships really make a difference in your life. And then when you can't see those friends, it's a big deal for adults and kids.
Absolutely. And that's what a lot of the discussions about going back to school have been, is that it's kind of like, talk to your doctor about the risks and benefits of taking this medicine. It's the same thing of going back to school. And so from just strictly a mental health perspective, it is so important for those kids to see each other and interact, because there's only so much you can do through Snapchat and PlayStation.
Right. And then for some kids in families, of course, there are bigger risk factors. So we definitely don't want to discount that. But everybody has to make their own choice. But if you're able to, you know, find another group or family or something, or cousin, you know, just that social interaction. We are humans. We are not meant to be alone and in our homes with our own, you know, nuclear family for this long. I mean, we love them, but it's not normal.
That's right. And I'll tell you, this is such a great segue. So my friend Becca has this saying of, how can I miss you if you never leave?
So true.
So that's with your nuclear, the people that live with you in your tight family group. If you never leave, I can't miss you. So go somewhere.
Right.
But Becca, she represents kind of this other group of people during all the pandemic time. I don't know what I said. At any rate, there's this group of people, and they are all about some home improvement. So we were talking about the flowers and plants and trees and noticing them and how beautiful they are. But people are also taking the time to restain their deck and paint the porch and pull out the, you know, refrigerator that hasn't worked in 12 years and get rid of it and clean out the garage. And so lots of your home renovation stores and different services have really seen quite a boom because people are trying to make their home really awesome, because that's where they are.
Yeah, I mean, I finally got around to cleaning out the junk drawer that I've been ignoring for months. And then you're like, oh, I do feel better. And I will say there is a benefit to not having a cluttered space. It just makes you feel so much more relaxed, and that all that clutter is chaos, and it makes me feel anxious without even realizing that that's what's causing it.
That's right. And when you clean out the garage or the closet, you find all kinds of stuff. And then it's like Christmas. You have new toys to play with and new things you forgot about. I don't even know what people, I've seen some on social media. People have found swimming pool rafts and all kinds of stuff. They didn't know they had water guns. And
I swear the quickest way to get your kids to play with a toy they haven't seen in a while is to put it in the donation pile. Holy cow, have they never wanted to play with that toy more in their life.
It's like reverse psychology. Look at you, you're using your degree there.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't want to show off or anything, but.
Well, and, you know, and go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's also been really interesting to take a moment to examine what you realize now wasn't working, you know, and maybe what's worth going back to and what's not, once whatever happens, happens. But like, what are you not missing? I think is a question that is good to ask yourself, because again, we get those patterns and I'm up and I'm going, and I'm not missing being, gone all day and in a rush all day. I'm not missing certain things. And then when we do start to open things up and go back, like, what do you want to take with you and what do you want to leave?
Yeah, and what's going to make you a better, healthier person? Looking at some relationships over the last few months, I've seen where people have finally been able to say, oh, that was a toxic relationship. I haven't seen them in 3 months and I feel so much better.
Yeah.
So it's not just, hobbies and activities to take into the future. It's people, it's relationships. It might even be your job. This may be the time that you're doing some soul searching and you say, hey, my talent really lies here. I want to try and make a go of it. To be on Food Network, to be a baker and make the best chocolate chip cookies ever.
Right. Never has there been a better time to blow it up. It's already kind of a dumpster fire every year. So, whatever. Like, now's the time. Shake it up.
Yeah. You can't do any more damage than what's already happening. So go for it. Yeah. If this was a sign we're giving you, if you're looking for a sign, there you go. Just do it.
Yeah. I mean, I just think people have had the time to reflect, and that's why we see, still the, I'm not going to say riot because they're not riots, but the
protests,
there's the word I'm looking for, yes. Because people are saying, I don't stand for this. And now that I've had a time to really evaluate my values and where I stand, I'm not going to tolerate it. And hopefully we'll see some positives out of this very, difficult time for a lot of people, especially being out of work and nervous and not able to leave. Hopefully there will be some long-lasting positive changes that come from this that we can see in hindsight, or hopefully now, but even more so when we look back.
Right. And I think we kind of can wrap up, at least my concluding thought has to do with grief and grace. So we have lost a lot of things. The ability to just kind of go places, to have your old routines, some of your friendships. I mean, there's a lot of events and weddings, things that just didn't happen. And the weird feeling you're having that you can't quite put your finger on is probably grief. And so I want to say, to kind of improve your mental health, sit with that grief just for a minute, acknowledge it, acknowledge you're sad you didn't get to take your vacation. You're sad that your kid didn't get to have their graduation ceremony, even if it was preschool or high school or the fifth grade. It's okay. So sit in that grief for a minute, acknowledge it, and then you can let yourself move on. And then as we move on, we've got to give each other grace, because it is different for every family, for every situation. And if you send your kid back to school, I'm going to say that was a really hard choice. I'm glad you made one for your family. So if we can extend each other some grace during this tough time, I think we'll all feel better about ourselves and hopefully stay away from those kind of icky coping mechanisms that lead us down a bad path.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I think grief is something that a lot of times we only think about in the context of someone we love passing away. And it just shows up a lot more than that. And I would say even maybe pre-sad. I'm going to call it pre-sad. I don't know if that's a term, but it is now. And when I think about,
sure, like pre-sad. I got it.
Sure, pre-sad. Yeah. You can all use it. Coming up, let's say the kids do go back to school in whatever capacity. I know here they've already said there's no assemblies, there's no field trips. So you might be grieving or feeling sad for your kids missing out on stuff they haven't even missed out on yet, but is coming and they're going to have to deal with, or something that you already know is going to be canceled because nothing's happening for the rest of the year, or, whatever. So you can have a pre-sad too. It doesn't have to be something that already happened, but just recognizing that and then, not having a six pack about it.
Yeah.
But actually sitting there and feeling that and recognizing it so you can move on.
Yeah. Maybe that's anticipatory grief. Which is,
I like pre-sad better.
I was gonna say, which is a much bigger word than pre-sad, but hey, whatever.
It's too fancy.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Whatever. Hey, there's me showing off my English degree, right? Words.
Yes. Yeah, well, last episode was we threw out a lot of words, so we can keep it going with some fancy words here too.
That's right. Well, as we wrap up today, we just want to thank everybody for continuing to listen to our podcast. Remind you that we have a book called There's an Elephant in Your Office, and you can buy it on Amazon or on our website, elephantinyouroffice.com. And hopefully, we'll be out and about, even if it's just virtually, spreading the word about mental health in the workplace, because at some point, we're going to go back to work, and then we got to figure out how to deal with it.
That's right. And you can also send us any questions you have at elephantinyouroffice@gmail.com. And on social, let us know how you've been coping, what positive things or new things that you've learned or something good that you'll take with you. We would love to hear it.
That's right. Maybe you found the perfect recipe for chocolate chip cookies, and clearly we
Oh,
need to know.
tell me, tell me.
All right. Well, until next time, thanks for listening.
Bye.